Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
So much going on as we open up hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a really good time. This is like Grand Central Station right here, and thanks for making us part of your day. We have Dez stuff coming in, Xavier Woods stuff coming in. We have Mavericks news, Mike McCarthy on Andy Dalton's concussion protocol. That's all planned here for the next 15 minutes. We're locked and loaded as we open up hour number two of the Nation. And guys, the Dez story developing. Let's start there, Brian. You got a report on how he looked in Baltimore?
I do. Actually, on cue, the Baltimore guys got back to me. They said, looks okay. Not a lot of action, but moving around really well. Super happy to have him. Looking forward to working with him to get him into our program. So they said he looks okay right now. I mean, like I say, not a lot going on with him at practice. And it's probably like, you know, acclimation period there. But again, everybody was happy about having him there.
So sounds like day one, he didn't do anything to get on the active roster yet.
No.
But and it's going good.
This practice squad's the way they're used now. They're holding They're holding periods to get, or holding places to get you onto the active roster is what it is. So I have a feeling in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I'm going to keep checking in with these guys and right say, on. But the fact that they say he looked okay, I think is at least a good start for him with, you know, trying to get him going, trying to get him acclimated to what they need him to do.
I like that part in there where they said he was moving around well. Because I think if that's the case, he's going to play good football.
He will. Yeah, he will.
If you can, you know, just give me 90% of what he was, you know, I think maybe he could be starting quality. 80%, which might be more likely, maybe he can be a rotational type of player that makes a touchdown or two and throws up the X and makes us all excited and reminiscent of what happened. Okay, and then Xavier Woods' story is developing there as he was – out of practice today, and there's been a lot of speculation. What's the latest on that, gentlemen?
That is a family matter right there. That is nothing to do with a trade or health-related stuff. It was just a family matter that he had to take care of, and that's why he missed practice today.
Okay, but 'tis the season with the NFL trade deadline a week away that if a guy is out for a couple of series or out for a practice, you know, you're going to start to buzz about what might be happening with him, especially because it's a player in the final year of his contract, and it's unsure if the Cowboys want to bring him back or not.
I'm putting in the call. I'm putting in the call for Xavier Woods to be a trade guy. Everybody on this defense has struggled, and I think the Cowboys, you're at a point now where you got to look at all these guys that are in their last year and say, okay, is there any value in if I took this guy off the roster and who could get some reps? And I think there is, right? Reggie Robinson is a fourth-round rookie that they moved to safety that hadn't even been active. That makes sense to me, especially because like a guy like Xavier Woods, when he plays his contract out, what does his next deal look like with another team? Probably something that gets you like a fifth-round comp pick. Could you trade him for a fifth-round pick? Because now I get it a year earlier. It makes sense to me. So I'm putting in the call. I'm putting in the call that Xavier Woods, one of my guys, is going to get moved.
Well, I could see that. I also wouldn't be surprised if he's not going to make that much money if the Cowboys look at him as a guy that they got to make room for because they just don't have much they can depend on back there in the defensive backfield. You know,
I wouldn't mind that either. I think he's a good candidate. You know, him and Cheeto are the two names that are really interesting to me. Where yeah. Cheeto, if you're not going to give him a second deal, trade him. But what's his value? If other teams aren't really high on him, Cheeto can start for you. He's the best corner this team has. Yeah. It's just a matter of what does that market look like because teams are desperate for corners. Is Cheeto going to be an $8 million player for somebody when he's a free agent? Maybe. So, you know, if you can keep him around, then keep him around. But if you're not going to, get on the telly.
It appears now, though, with Xavier Woods not health-related, had a family issue, not trade-related either, missed practice, but should be back later in the week. Okay, before we get to this Mavericks news, we'll do a little around the NBA here for you. Press conference update from Mike McCarthy here on Andy Dalton with Cut 4.
Andy's in the protocol still. Yes, I mean, saw Andy this morning when he arrived in the building. So, but yes, he's still in the protocol.
For some reason, my dad is so up on this situation, and I was talking to him last night. He's like, "Is Dalton going to play?" I'm like, "Dad, why do you care? First of all, just tell me why do you care? The team's 2-5.
What was his answer?
He's just, I don't know. You know, I'm hoping they can, you know, win the division still. I think he's one of those guys. You know, he's coming up on the time where he's had a good run. I don't think he's got a time.
Wow!
Yeah, man, what are you doing, bro? Relax.
Yeah. Talk about it with Jerry.
Yeah.
My God.
What's wrong with that? You know,
your dad, man.
He's got his fingers crossed. I don't know why he's so into it. Maybe
we all have our fingers crossed.
Maybe he – no, I'm talking about the Cowboys. Maybe he wants the ratings to be good because, you know, business success. He's always looking out for his son's best interest, something like that. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, I just thought it didn't matter. But I told him, I was like, "Dad, you saw him. He looked like he got hit by Mike Tyson. Guys don't get up and play football 6 days later after a concussion like that. The concussion that you come back from, it's like, oh, it was a little bit of a nick or a ding, and the guy was a little bit woozy, but he's like, I got this." He was out cold seizing, you know?
You're scared, coward.
That's 2-3 weeks time, if you're lucky. That can go Eric Lindros on you. That's how bad that concussion was. That was horrifying to watch, really.
I think you can tell from the press conferences, like the way that people are talking, it was pretty clear as of Monday that Andy Dalton ain't going to play this week.
No.
So that's getting dinged up.
Yeah. All right, Brad Townsend here in the morning news reporting the Mavericks are making everybody not named Luka and Kristaps available in trade. So lots of takeaways on that. I think it's a no-brainer to at least make those guys available, right? Is there anybody else in that group? Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleba? I mean, there's some players that we enjoy and are fun and I think could be in a championship rotation. But if you can make our team better, anybody can go.
I mean, I don't like that they named two names instead of one, for being honest. I mean, I would be open to it. I think the ceiling for this team is at its highest with Luka and Porzingis. But with the health questions, I don't think I would take it off the table if there was something that was, you know, helps you, helps us, and somebody's calling about Porzingis. I'm answering the phone. I know that.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and that's the question that a lot of Mavs fans are asking is, why not make Porzingis available too? And I think he is. You know, I think it's just one of those where you kind of want to protect his value. We're not shopping Porzingis. It's clear you can trade for anybody in the NBA, you know. Our roster is available. Call us, talk to us about it, make it a good offer. But with the star players, I think you want to protect their value, maybe with his injury situation. I also wonder, could the Mavs be looking at it like this? If we have Porzingis and Luka for another year, we know they're going to work well together. We can market that. Look at what Rick did with Luka and Porzingis. And now you're going to be the third guy to come in and be awesome. Where if you trade Porzingis for complementary pieces or pieces that don't work great, as can happen, Dennis Smith Jr., for example, you know, some attacking players just aren't going to go well with a guy like Luka, Chris Paul, James Harden, you know, those kind of situations. Maybe that's a big part of their marketing ploy for Giannis, you know?
Okay.
Hey, look, Giannis, we're going to make this team superstar Europe, and you're going to step onto this team and just mop the floor. You know, look out, 75 wins and greatest team of all time stuff is what they're going to be talking about with you. But I don't know. You know, I also think you could trade Porzingis and get the kind of complementary pieces, the kind of shooters and defensive players that could just make you incredible as well. I think point holds. Porzingis has to be available. Are you kidding me? You can't say he's untradeable with that injury history. You know, you can say everything you want to protect the value and protect, you know, the season tickets around the idea of coming to watch Luka and Porzingis team up and take the league by storm, assuming they're going to have fans in the stands and all that. But with an injury-prone player, if you're not willing to trade him when a good offer hits the phone lines, I think you're being negligent and burying your head in the sand about the reality of injury-prone players.
Agree.
All right. How about a piece of audio here? Zach Lowe. Now, he's a top NBA insider. He does the Low Post podcast. And we'll take your feedback on this coming up at 5:20. This is on the Giannis idea. And how much to the Mavs is this a real possibility? Now, I hear you. The history's not good. But insiders are starting to talk like this. Here's Zach Lowe.
To me, Dallas is... They are a little short on cap room for Giannis in the summer of 2021, but they can get there easily because they got a million good contracts they can move. That is, to me, that is the one that if I am one of the other 29 teams in the league, I do not want to see that happen, because Luka and Giannis is their own version of LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like that, I think that's the role where Giannis can win championships, where he's not LeBron. Luka is LeBron in the sense of he has the keys to the offense. And Giannis is some, you know, yes, he gets to run pick and roll. He gets to post up. He gets the ball some, but he also screens and dives, and he's all over the place on defense, and he runs the offense when Luka rests and all this. To me, that's the one where I have nightmares if I'm one of the other teams in the league.
Couldn't agree more. If I'm Giannis, that's – if I'm leaving Milwaukee, I'm going to Dallas. Here's the thing. We both think Luka has a chance to be one of the six or seven best players of all time. If he doesn't get hurt and if he continues on the pace he's on, he has the chance to be this generation superstar, the post-LeBron generation. Who's going to be the guy who owns that 15-year stretch? Luka's by far the best chance. And if Giannis teams up with him and they grow old together in Dallas, and Dallas spends a load of money for them, that's the scenario that scares everybody.
And I'm not even sure I need Porzingis in that scenario to be my starting five or whatever he's going to be, spacing the floor for those guys. I'm not sure that it's not better for me to flip Porzingis and do a few different things.
I mean, it is so good if you are Giannis looking at this situation, and that's what's genuinely changed. I don't mean any disrespect to Dirk, but Luka's the kind of floor leader that other superstar players like Giannis, Anthony Davis are going to look at and go, wow, if I go here, this guy, you know, can at least be my equal. You can go to other places in Giannis, but you run the risk of not being with another brilliant player. And now with all this player movement, you know, previously in the Dirk era, you didn't have this, what LeBron James ushered in. And now everybody's doing it. Almost all the superstars on small market teams are leaving. So the availability of stars to leave is there. Luka is a more attractive playing partner than Dirk was. You know, by the time Dirk had really hit the status Luka was, it was post-championship. And he was already old. Luka has hit this level at a significantly younger age than Dirk, and that's going to be very, very attractive for those other superstar players. So I am buying it. I'm sorry. 214 says nobody's coming here.
I mean, look, that's the natural rebuttal is we're all very scarred. You know, as a Maverick fan, you've been down this road a million times. And is this one different? I think so. But it's almost one of those things that until they pull something like that off,
yeah,
I'm going to be sitting there doing the squinty eye like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, Luka, yeah. People want to play with Luka, okay. And I know that you're right. Yeah. I know that the NBA, the superstars of the NBA, already adore Luka. They love him and hate him when they're playing against him and want to try him and test him, but also respect him and kind of fear him. I know that he exists in a different space as far as guys wanting to play with him than Dirk did, but I still just look at it like, okay, if it happens, then I'll believe it.
I hear you, and that's fair.
Yeah, I'm on the boat with Jeff of like, boy, if he doesn't come here, what does that say about Luka and what does that say about the Mavs? You know, we can have experts talk about this all day, like, oh, I fear this, fear that. But if they don't deliver this fish, man, that is that an indictment on the organization and of the player?
I think it's confirmation, you know, that nothing changed or how difficult it is to get that fish. You know, there's 29 other teams.
Sure. And,
you know, you're trying to position yourself for some of the big ones. If you don't get it, that, you know, that, I think that stings a little bit. And maybe he does go to Miami or L.A. But I do just think that there's a higher probability this one comes together because of the ability to reign terror. You know, that's really what's going to determine your legacy. And you can do it in Chicago. You know, Jordan made Chicago. You know, you can do it in a lot of different places. Golden State was a non-factor. And now, boom, it's $1,000 a game for courtside seats. So if you're a winner, you can totally change how the entire sports world looks at you. Instead of being, you know, in the middle of nowhere, like Omaha, Nebraska or something, Lincoln, Nebraska, you're the center of the sports universe. That's what you are if you're that good. Coming up next, G-Bag Nation, Mike Fisher joins us. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter, and he has the latest on the Cowboys and the availability of some returning starters next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now for Mike Fisher. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. Holy cow. Some of you out there are MFFLs. Some of you really hate Mavs talk. That's crazy. I mean, the Mavs are soaring. The Mavs are one of the most exciting stories in all of American sports right now.
So are the Cowboys. Oh. It's the trade deadline.
Right. I mean, I get it. Don Terry Poe was fat, and he got cut, and Worley sucks. And, boy, this offensive line, who's going to play right tackle? And I want to talk about that about 90% of the time. Okay? Just a little Mavs? We're talking Giannis. All the insiders are starting to say, boy, if Giannis really wants to win all the championships, he just go to the Mavs. You know, dunk on the league for a decade with Luka. Wouldn't that be the best gym? Oh, yeah, Bob, I tell you what, they'd win them all. That's pretty cool if you ask me. Some of you, I guess, just want Cowboys football. Hey, I don't blame you. You really don't need any more than Cowboys football. We just really like other stuff, you know. There's other sports. Okay, segment here is brought to you by the Frankles. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankles. 214-333-3333 or go online to truckwreck.com. It's also brought to you by the Kent Academies. You go to carsforkids.org, give them your vehicle. Help the kids get a second chance. He's high school diploma. The league structure is but the games don't matter. Okay, all right, well. It is a long season, but that applies to Major League Baseball, too. The games do apply the most in the NFL. Hey, the NFL's king. And if you want to say, well, I've only got time in my life for one league, I think you made the right choice with the NFL. But, you know, with others that are inferior products, we got to put up with some unfortunate stuff to get to the good stuff. And the good stuff is the Mavericks have a transcendent superstar who could lead them to a championship. And if Giannis comes here, it will be multiples, right? The league will be crying uncle. Like, oh, I thought we were done with this when KD left the Warriors. I can't believe they did it again. But this time it can be us going with the championship parades. Here we go, though. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter, Mike Fisher. How the heck are you, Fish?
Well, G-Bag Nation is 5 hours long. And so if every once in a while you have an interesting Mavericks take or Abby's got a soccer game or Broadus is making gumbo or Jeffrey's knees hurt, I think there's a little room. There's a little bit of room over the course of 5 hours. You're kind of scaring me off talking Mavericks, though, because I did want to touch on the national media debate now, and I'll be brief, I guess. But they can't seem to make up their minds which great direction the Mavericks are going to go, and all the directions are fine. But I think it was Brian Windhorst that said they're going to save their money and not do anything this year, and then it's Shams. It's saying they're going to go right now and do what they want. And I'm here to tell you the Mavericks have finally learned, and it's been a painful lesson. You don't have to save your money to do it. Money's got nothing to do with it. If Giannis wants to come here tomorrow, then it'll happen. If Giannis turns down to the Supermax in the offseason and says, I'm going to be with the Bucks for one more year, and then I'm going to be free. At that point, the Mavericks will be in play. And so one way or the other, And Donnie Nelson told us the other day, we were in a conversation with him. He said, we're in a hurry. We want to turn over all the rocks right now. And we think that Dallas is now a basketball destination city. And as you say, General, the presence of Luka Doncic, not to mention Kristaps Porzingis, makes it so. So this is a nationally important story. So absolutely, G-Bag Nation, as plugged in as this group is, ought to every once in a while touch on the potential greatness of your Dallas Mavericks.
And the MFFLs are rallying right now. They're coming in on the Autoflex Leasing Fantex, and they're willing to fight these guys who don't want the Mavs talk.
There's room for us all to be friends. In fact, I find the huge majority of Cowboy fans, their second favorite thing to do is Mavericks and Rangers or Stars. And so we're all friends here.
Yeah, we salute you. Okay, Fish, what else is going on here in your world of sports?
All right, and of course, Jeffrey saw this coming, and we reported this on Monday, too, that Everson Griffin was heading towards the exit door, and now that's done. and they get a whatever for him, a conditional six, whatever it is, and that Don Terry Poe and Daryl Worley were also towards the exit door as well. We went to practice today inside Ford Center. Thank you, Coach, because it is drizzly and cold outside, and we're not in Green Bay anymore, so come on indoors. And that's indeed what we did. And no Don Terry Poe at practice today, and no Daryl Worley at practice today. And now, here in the last 10 minutes, they've been officially told, we'll send you packing. Somebody asked Jeffrey on Twitter, well, why are the Cowboys letting, you know, Fisher and Kavanaugh and Pelissero, why are they letting you guys know this? Or whoever it is, whoever the sources are, they're letting
they're
you know
not.
This.
We're smart.
We're just smart on our own. That's a big part of it. So, you know, because if you let people know this, why is the team going to grab them? Well, because Don Terry, both of them are vested veterans. So if what if you're a team that Don Terry Poe doesn't necessarily want to go to? He wouldn't choose you, but you think you could use his help. That would be the case where you'd give the Cowboys a conditional seven. But that's not happening either. And then why do this today? It's almost a favor. Besides being Jimmy Johnson-esque, trying to send some message, it's almost doing a favor to the players, because if they do want to catch on with the team, you know, they got to spend 5 days in COVID before they do so. So, like, they won't play for anybody this weekend. They'd have to get signed real quick to even play for somebody the next weekend, which leads me to my Jimmy-esque thing. And I've chronicled this, Gavin, of course, now for 30 years, and I've made a lot of fun of it, you know. When Jimmy said, the asthma field's over there, to the kicker in 1989, it was the fourth string kicker. It was quite a show. Jimmy knew the camera. He knew there was a camera on him. He knew exactly what he was doing. But even though it was corny and theatrical, what if some player reacted to it by saying, oh boy, I better shape up. When he cut Kervin Richards, who I think fumbled three times in one game against the Bears, in the final week of 1992, he cut Kervin Richards. Boy, oh boy, he sent a message to old Stinky. Except they weren't going to use Kervin Richards anyway. So what did it hurt? And then John Roper, 1993 or something, John Roper comes here from the Bears. He's on his last legs, and he falls asleep in a meeting. And so Jimmy cuts him. But John Roper couldn't play anyway. And while I've always made fun of this, and I would kind of make fun of the idea that, hey, we showed Poe the door and we showed Worley the door because we want to tell you other 53 guys, you better shape up. What if some guys do respond to it by saying, oh boy, I better wake up. So even though I might think it's corny and theatrical, if it does inspire some cowboy to lift one more weight or watch one more bit of film, then good for Coach McCarthy.
I think it could work. You know, it might not work on all of them. Some guys might be entitled or just don't care. But especially some of the younger guys or guys that might be coming up on a contract, it's absolutely worth a shot. As long as he, you know, doesn't bring asthma into it. That's a very serious condition, Mike. It's no laughing.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that anymore. You couldn't pull that off anymore. You know, I think Don Terry Poe, in fact, I think some of the young kids have said this in the last couple of days, that he was a big brother to those young interior linemen. And so if they are somehow inspired by this to make sure that they stay on top of their game as much as possible, then that's fine. I also must say, and this would be the Joneses and Will McClay, I guess I applaud you for cutting your losses, because I suppose you could have been stubborn here and said, no, we knew what we were doing. But in the end, they didn't know what they were doing. They made a huge miscalculation on Don Terry Poe, who I think Jeffrey has one tackle a game, doesn't he? One tackle?
I mean, sounds about right. He hadn't been doing a whole lot.
And then Daryl Worley, and I hope they know what we now know about him, which is his reputation as a guesser has gotten him in trouble in his entire NFL career. And I hope the Cowboys knew that and thought maybe they could fix it. And then, oh, we didn't fix it. Can't do it. Goodbye. And we move on to something else. I'm still, if I'm a Cowboy fan and somebody that spends attention to the personnel issues, I still think, had they not signed these three guys and instead signed three others, Earl Thomas, Snacks Harrison, and Ronald Leary, would their record be 2-5?
If Dak had gotten hurt.
I mean, every team in the league that's thought about signing Earl, their players have said, we'll quit. So I don't know if you were going to sign Earl.
Might have been a mutiny.
true, there might have been. There might have been a mutiny. Or you rely on your $5 million a year coach and your all-powerful $8 billion owner to tell your players, no, you're not going to quit. We're going to try this. So shut up and do your job. I'm paying you guys $10 million. You're not going to quit. I think that the Cowboys need to rethink the importance of safety, regardless of whether it's Earl Thomas or Eric Reed, who, by the way, recently turned down a Washington invitation to start on the practice squad, well within his rights. But I wonder if Eric Reed understands the way the path is now. You start on the practice squad. It's not meant as an insult. But with this idea that safeties aren't important, off the top of my head, we've played seven games. Jamal Adams was pretty important when the Cowboys played against him. Landon Collins was really important when the Cowboys played against him. And who's the guy in Arizona? Baker?
Buda Baker. Yeah, Buda Baker.
All he was was the NFC player of the week he played the Cowboys. So maybe the Cowboys don't think safety is important, but safety sure seems important when the Cowboys play against them.
Absolutely. Fish, are you starting to get a feeling at all? Let me ask you this, that maybe they're looking at this as a year where they're going to develop players and investigate who they have and blow a bunch of people out and just kind of start all over. And this is kind of like the teardown.
Yeah, Jerry in particular has about 4 days now to make that decision. My impression of his visits with us here are that he doesn't lean that way, that he keeps looking at the standings and seeing that the door is still a little bit ajar. But we're going to have our answer, General, depending on what they do in their next move at the deadline. The buyer-seller thing will reveal itself. The Jets, for instance, now saying, no, we're not selling Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle, 2019 third overall pick, defensive tackle, Alabama. Well, okay, I could take Adam Gase's word for it, or from the Cowboys, I can go ahead and call up there. And so I hope the Cowboys are going ahead and calling up there just in case, because I'm a buyer. If the guy's on a rookie contract and he's got star potential and the Jets are stupid enough for some reason to be dangling him, well, then I don't care what my record is. I'm a buyer.
All right, Fish, anything else before we let you go?
One more thing. Our friend at Pro Football Talk wrote about trading Amari Cooper to the Packers. And I decided to do, just for my own amusement, and I wrote about it. You can find it on social media. How would that really work? It wouldn't be a cap problem this year for the Cowboys. It would be a cap problem for the Packers. But then next year, the Cowboys would have to eat $8 million with the dead money, and the Packers would have a number two receiver making $20 million. And I believe the Packers right now have $3 million with a cap room. So I'm all for the brainstorming and the spitballing, but we got to make sure some of these things make sense. Dumping Amari Cooper and then having to swallow $8 million worth of cap room, I think I'd rather have the player than that problem.
I think we've gone way too far with our Amari Cooper questions and uncertainties to pretend that he's a guy you would want to move on from. He is your number one receiver, and he's a bona fide number one receiver. Chill out.
Yeah. I'd rather fix the Amari Cooper problem, if there is one, than give up on good players. I do respect the fact, hey, they have CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, so you know you have some expendability, more than most teams there. But Jeffrey, I'm with you. By and large, the idea is to get good players, not to dump them. So keep what you have, especially when it's cap friendly or cap penalty for doing otherwise. Keep the good players you have and try to build on it. Yeah, okay, great. You traded Everson Griffin. You're getting a seventh-round pick for him. I guess it'll probably be a sixth-round pick for him. That's not earth-shattering. You would have just as soon cut him the same way you did with the other two guys. But I don't know if I'm a buyer or a seller. But, yes, Jeffrey, I'm with you. I'm still a builder.
Appreciate you as always, Fish. Catch up with them all. Yeah, you know, teams that are this bad, if they're healthy, that's the thing you blow up. This team is this bad. They don't need to rebuild everything and blow it all up. And so, you know, getting rid of Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup or CeeDee Lamb, the offensive lineman, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, those are the guys that you keep. Now, anybody else, if it makes sense with your cap and you can get back a good draft pick, yes. But there's a clear criteria because Fish hit it right there at the end. This is a team that's still building. We're not tearing it down. It's going to be strategic moves to try to add day three draft picks. Not big detonation move to try to, you know, get a bunch of first rounders or whatever it be, right? Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time for some World Series baseball stuff, and the MLB has a statement on Justin Turner's act last night and how serious they think it is next in the nation. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I just can't imagine doing what Justin Turner did. I can't believe his teammates were so cool with it. But they decided as a team to continue to celebrate Turner with his mask off after he was taken out of the game. After a test came back that showed he did have it. So they knew going in it was inconclusive. Major League Baseball, I guess, was fine with it. The Dodgers were fine with it. But today, Major League Baseball coming out and saying, now, once that test came in, you know, and Turner was removed, he should have not reentered the playing field even to celebrate. And they're not happy. Major League Baseball releasing a statement saying it's clear Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While a desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. So Turner kind of went like one of those guys at the store that's like, no, I'm not wearing a mask. You know, it's my freedom and this is my right and we want it and I'm going to celebrate my championship. And hey, I see that, but you're risking other people. I would just feel this incredible. It's one thing to say, listen, I'm not sick. All right. I don't have the virus. Leave me alone. All right. I'm out here at a park without a mask on. Get away from me. But if you have it, and then his teammates, I don't know. I think what we might find is that the Dodgers as a team didn't take it that seriously all season long, and this was just a continuation of it. What's your read on it, guys?
I agree. Yeah, probably. To me, the worst part is, like, this is Clayton Kershaw's World Series, and this is the biggest story coming out of it.
Oh, good point.
The Dodgers just won the World Series in the first time in forever.
Yeah, 1988.
And Clayton Kershaw finally wins his World Series to sort of complete his career as an all-time great. And the segments should be about, don't you feel stupid, Boston? You traded Mookie Betts, and now he just won his second World Series. And there's a lot of really cool and fun storylines that come out of it, but instead what you have is, and look, I think it's kind of shady. The idea that they got back, it took from Monday to Tuesday in the second inning to get back an inconclusive test for Turner, and five innings later, they got his test from the next day that was positive. I think the whole thing is fairly shady.
Yeah, MLB's involvement in, the team's involvement in it.
I think it's pretty weird you're going to tell me that you got the test back from one day in the second inning and from the next day in the seventh inning. That seems kind of strange to me. That doesn't pass the sniffer for me.
Well, this is one of those situations where even if you didn't test positive or you did test positive and there was some question, Major League Baseball needed to have a rule that you need immediately. They should have taken him to the hotel. They should have taken him away from the facility.
Well, I mean, you can't technically arrest somebody for it, though.
Well, but it's not arresting. It's part of protocol. It's like, listen, I'm sorry. We need to remove it. They have an after party at that hotel. Trust me. I've been a part of one in a Super Bowl. You know, they all get together. And if you want to celebrate, and the media is not part of that. You know, if you want to bring Turner out and let him hold the trophy and all that and take pictures, you know, back at the hotel with everybody else, you know, great, but keep the pictures where they need to be under wraps. But I think Major League Baseball learned something here. Like, we should have taken him physically from the stadium back to the player hotel and taken him away so you don't have these situations where all of a sudden it's like, no, it's the seventh inning. Now they win, and it's like, oh, wow, I'm going to be part of the celebration. He didn't know when he found out, when he was removed, that Major League Baseball needed to completely remove him from any type of situation like this happening.
Maybe Turner isn't a sheep out of the 903. I love these responses on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. If the other people didn't care, why does it matter? He is exposing them, not you. Let them decide if they wanted to celebrate with him.
Fine. Yeah, great.
Well, it was MLB rules. It was protocol that was agreed to by the teams.
This is their social norm. Yeah,
you can't just insist that Corona is not a threat, and because you don't see it as a threat, that the entire world isn't seeing it as a threat.
Really?
The entire world does, and he broke the rules.
He did.
Rules that would apply to our job site. If you have corona and you go into your job, you're effing fired, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Like, if you just want to say, I'm sick of hearing about corona and text that, I get it. But you can't just pretend it's nothing or that your very small percentage view of this is just reality. Sorry, I read on Facebook it's not 230,000 people are dead. You know? The virus is not that big of a threat. Well, maybe for people in their 40s it's not, but people in our age still die, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the late 40s.
This is Major League Baseball's fault.
Yeah.
This isn't, I don't blame the player. I blame Major League Baseball for not getting him out of that situation. That's my problem.
Yeah. And for him to be on the field and, you know, doing that whole thing, taking pictures, it exacerbated the problem. Okay, but congrats to the Dodgers. And to Jeff's point, there are some people that deserve to be congratulated, including Clayton Kershaw. The biggest storyline for DFW is what it does to his legacy and rewrites a lot of his playoff resume. 2.93 ERA over 30 innings this playoff run, 32 more strikeouts than walks. The Dodgers were 4-1 in his starts. And as a result, Kershaw lowered his career playoff ERA from 4.41 to 4.19. So the body of work still isn't the stuff that absolute legends are made of, but you get the World Series and all that stuff kind of fades. Like, oh yeah, he struggled with the playoffs earlier in his career, but none of that matters when you look at his resume and the 8 All-Star games and the 3 Cy Youngs, and now to put a World Series where they won 2 of your games on that resume as well. It's an incredible accomplishment for him, and now his legacy's complete.
Yeah, I'm more impressed with what he did against the Braves than what he did against Tampa. Tampa's a team that really struggled to hit at times. You know, I mean, they're the way
stunning they got to the World Series.
Amazing.
But they did.
Yeah, it's pitching and then the long ball. I mean, they didn't have very much any timely hitting for that team. I mean, they kept fighting and stuff, but I'm more impressed with what he did against the Braves. That's a real lineup right there.
It's amazing. It's awesome. It's great because now he can just be remembered as one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time, and that's really cool for him. One of my favorite things that I saw after the game, and this is Rangers take notes, because yes, the Dodgers' payroll is about 4 times higher than the Rays. And when we look at teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, and you go, oh, they buy everybody and they spend all the money. The Dodgers played in 18 playoff games. Every single one of them was started by a pitcher who spent his entire career in the LA organization.
Oh, that's amazing.
So these teams that spend money, it's great to be able to spend money. But the Yankees, when they were champions, and these Dodgers who are champions, there's always a big element of what did you draft and what did you develop. And Rangers, you ain't winning squat without it.
No, JD looked like he might be one of those super executives like 8 years or so ago, but he couldn't write the next chapter in a Brian Cashman or Theo Epstein. Now it's this guy, Andrew Friedman, GM of the Dodgers, and he ran the Rays from 2006 to 2014 and really took them to some heights. And since he's been with the Dodgers now, they've dominated and, you know, won 7 of their 8 consecutive division titles with Andrew Friedman running the show there.
Kershaw, is there something going on with his hat that I don't know anything about?
He's got a dirty hat.
Yeah, is that like a bit or something? It's like that same hat all season? Because I know they can get brand new hats every game, and his is disgusting.
They don't want new hats because they want to put stuff on their hats so that they can reach up there and grab it and then put their hand on the ball and have the nasty on the ball.
Oh, I bet that hat stinks.
I guarantee it.
Guaranteed, fam.
Have you ever had a hat that you keep until there literally are holes in it that just happen organically?
They stink.
I had one through high school that all the way until there was a giant hole that started ripping like all the way across the top. I was like, okay, time to retire it. And yes, it smelled like butt.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I think I got rid of them usually when they started getting those sweat rings going. And then you get the extra sweaty day, especially with a wool one. It kind of shrink a little bit on you. Yeah. You put in the
you
corner
see the sweat rings
have you,
on
yeah,
it.
Have you learned you can't wear a white hat? That's the problem I had. I used to play golf all the time in a white hat, and by the end of it, it was like,
get ruined pretty quick.
Nice gold hat you're working with there, Brian. Yeah.
The dirt touching the
dirt,
brim and stuff.
Yeah,
not
sweat.
A good look.
It's a bad look, yeah.
Saw a tweet on SI. Friendly reminder, Mookie Betts is great at everything, and it's a video montage The guy routes up a DB with an incredible move. I don't know what level he played football at, but it looked like he'd been a pretty damn good wide receiver at some level.
It was a good post corner he ran. That was a great change of direction at speed. I will take Mookie Betts on my football team.
Is he like Hill? Is he like Hill in Kansas City? That kind of guy?
He was full speed running a post. That foot went in the ground, and he broke the corner without ever missing a beat.
There you go.
More like Hardman. You know, not quite as good as Hill.
There you go.
But yeah.
I was thinking short. I was thinking short and did it. Yeah.
He's catching windmill alley-oop dunk, speaking of short guy. Then he's bowling, and he's got perfect technique with the full-on bowler's outfit.
He's a 300 bowler.
Yeah.
He is a 300 bowler.
He sounds like another Odell Beckham Jr., just can do anything.
Yeah. He robs home runs. He hits home runs. Last night he was 2-for-4 with a home run and a double. Not the biggest story of the night, though, as Jeff pointed out. Justin Turner and Seager wins the MVP. There you have it, some baseball stuff. We'll be back with more baseball stuff when the Rangers start making moves. You know,
we're retiring this thing. It probably makes
for the
sense.
Time being.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
We'll have baseball stuff or football content right here throughout the rest of the winter. And then, you know, when spring training comes back and the stories start cranking, we'll bring it back in full bore. But thanks for enjoying an incredible baseball season with us right here on the home of the Rangers. And we'll be back for more coming up in 2021 before too long. They'll be reporting there. You know, they pulled it off. I think that's the great news.
Yeah,
they don't need a bubble. They did 2 months of it. Next year, they can be very confident they could do 6 months. They learned a ton. And, you know, now I believe we're going to head into 2021, assuming the collective bargaining stuff gets taken care of with a fairly normal baseball season. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, it is time for the third hour of the broadcast. Cowboys Twitter, and the numbers are in on this run defense. It might be even worse than it looked. That's next in the Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.